From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord had opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us.
It's hard to say, isn't it, Dorian? Not easy. I'm saying it a couple times in my sermon. Good to be with you all today. Thanks for coming. For the second week in a row, it's a vision that guards, guides, and directs the ongoing movement of the Easter story. Last week, our old friend Peter had a vision, and so did our new friend Cornelius. Their individual visions brought the two together, and both men were changed. And so was the church, because the church had to rethink what a congregation could look like. This week, we come to another preeminent character in the story of the church, Paul. Just before our text scope that Dorian read for us, Paul had left a Christian conference going on in Jerusalem, whereupon he and his longtime colleague and friend Barnabas had a falling out of epic proportions over personnel decisions. The shocking rumors posted all over the internet turned out to be true. A split indeed was happening. From Antioch, Paul went his own way and Barnabas went his. Paul to the northwest and Barnabas to the southwest. Paul and his entourage picked up steam and additional team members as they traveled along and encouraging small churches and starting new ones so that the congregations were strengthened in the faith and grew in numbers daily. Yet, once Paul reached the far regions of the area, he found he couldn't go on any further, having been prevented by the Holy Spirit to go northeast past the Asian provinces of Phrygia and Galatia. We don't know, of course, how the Holy Spirit did that. Maybe their passports expired and the posted guards refused to let them pass by. Maybe there was a week-long rainstorm that washed out the roads or a skirmish between hostile groups occurring just beyond the ridge. However it transpired, Paul interpreted it as a clear no. Okay, so not northeast. How about north then into Bithynia? That path was blocked as well, though, and the Spirit of Jesus, the text says, would not allow them to go on. What to do? The little troop marched westward to Troas to try to regroup, not sure what to do next. It's in Troas where our story picks up, and it's in Troas where Paul has his vision in the nighttime. It's a vision of a man saying, "Come to Macedonia and help us." It's vague to say the least, but there's finally a sense of direction. And the very next day, Paul and his friends pack up and purchase one-way tickets across the Aegean Sea into Europe. And it's the first time the message of Jesus reaches that continent. Philippi is the largest city in Macedonia, so that's where they head, and they stay there for several days. On the Sabbath, good Jews that Paul and his company are, they seek out a place of rest. If mountains aren't available, then bodies of water are a good second choice for such non-activities. And Paul and Fred's head to the river just outside the city walls. It's there they will pray and spend time alone with God. But they will not be alone this time, for the location is already taken. It's not the man from the vision, as one might suppose, but a group of women who love God, one of whom is Lydia. In just two short verses, Lydia captivates us, draws us in, and compels us. We name children after her, and then she's not named, she's not heard of again, other than a brief mention at the end of the story that Larry will preach next week. We know almost nothing about her, but what we do know fascinates us. She hails from Thyatira, a city within just a few miles where Paul had passed by in Asia while he was on his way to Europe. She owns her own company in Philippi. She's a dealer in purple fabric, which means a couple things. One, only the elite class wore purple anything. It was expensive to make, and only the upper echelon of society could afford it. Think 8-car garage and 12 first-floor bathrooms and sprawling villas overlooking the ocean. This was her clientele. This is who she rubbed shoulders with. Two, it means that Lydia, as a seller of purple, has some financial means too. She is not hurting for money. Lydia is a successful, independent businesswoman making her way in a Roman culture dictated by men. She is also a worshiper of God. Even as a Gentile, she feels pulled to the God of the Jews. Something about that God speaks to her. She goes to the river to seek the God who had been seeking her all along. As Paul begins talking to Lydia and the other women, we read that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. The opening of the heart, of course, is due to God's gracious advancing, not Paul's grand ability to preach. What we have here, then, is Acts' version of eager to listen Mary and to-do list Martha, melding the best parts of both into one. Even in the brevity of what we know about her, worship and work both have their right place in Lydia's life. We see that unmistakably as worship becomes baptism and as work becomes generous hospitality. According to Acts, Lydia becomes the first European to love Jesus. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. It's fascinating to think how this whole story transpired and what had to happen in order for this to happen. Paul and Barnabas going separate ways. All of the regions Paul had intended to go, but blocked off. Can't go here, can't go there. A strange vision of a man asking him for help on a completely different continent. Lydia moving from her hometown and setting up shop in a city far away. Lydia somehow hearing of Yahweh, the God of the Jews, and learning to love that God. Lydia's inclusion into community of women who gathered to worship God. And here, down by the riverside, a chance encounter with a group of travelers who've journeyed thousands of miles, armed with nothing but a hope and a message, courageous enough to speak of the Christ who redeems broken lives and brings forth a fresh kingdom. Thinking about all of that, how did that happen? Was God in heaven pulling puppet strings? Marionette Paul, marionette Lydia make their way to each other because God didn't give anyone a chance? Were messengers of God secretly placed before Paul all his life and before Lydia all her life with arrowed signs saying, go that way, so as to ensure that they would bump into each other years later? Was it all luck or fate or destiny or the stars aligning just so? How did this conversation come to be? There's a lot that's left to our imagination with more questions and answers, and that's okay. In any case, we do recognize that a convergence of divine guidance and human faithfulness happened. There's an intersection in this narrative where God's initiative and Paul's openness and Lydia's openness meet up at the river. Paul is sensitive and perceptive enough to attune his ears to the movement of God wherever he finds himself. Lydia is seeking that which she cannot fully comprehend or describe. The Spirit's wind is blowing, residing in whom it will, and is not restricted in any one pattern or routine. The common thread is our openness and God's Holy Spirit, creating a kind of community we could never create on our own. A dozen directions we could talk about at this point. Let's choose this one. With today being graduation Sunday, and it seems appropriate to me that we sit in praise of the God who brings people into our life. God did that for Lydia, bringing Paul into her life. God did that for Paul, bringing Lydia into his life. Draw a mental timeline of your own life and chart when other individuals made their mark in it. All sorts of people, hundreds of them, thousands even. Some, of course, you'd rather forget, you'd rather not think of them, and believe me, I get that. I'm talking about those people that entered your life along the way and you were changed for the good because of it. Who knows exactly how it happened, the two paths colliding, you meeting them, them meeting you, you becoming part of a communal body such as this one. All you know is that that person did arrive, or they did, or you did. Maybe you were stumbling around like Paul, unsure of what to do and where to go, and a person or a people you were not expecting walked into your storyline, and the direction of your life changed. Maybe you were seeking something more and deeper and truer, and like Lydia was, and here came somebody out of the corner of your eye and you became a new person. A wife, a husband, a friend, a neighbor, a mentor, an old man, an inmate, a group of teenaged youth, a family, a church, a complete stranger who turned out to be an angel. All of a sudden, there you are praying together, or speaking late into the night about your certainties and uncertainties about God. You were given keys to the house and keys to the truck. Your bank account miraculously gained the money you needed when you needed it. You are invited to witness baptisms and weddings and funerals. You are told, you will come tonight and eat at my house. Yes, ma'am. Some of these generous intruders hung around for a short while before they moved on. Some came and stayed for a long while before they passed on. It's the breathing of the Holy Spirit, I think, a lingering and mysterious presence of Jesus who still incarnates himself in various forms and at various times and in various people. We, thanks be to God, get to benefit from that. And we, thanks be to God, get to bless others. Here's what I hope. That Paul's and Lydia's came into your mind as I spoke about God's Holy Spirit pulling people into their lives. That's what I hope. Your job is to go and thank them, say something to them, express your gratitude for them. And if they have already died, give your silent prayers to God in thanks. During our time with the Lord's Supper in a little bit, you may want to write lengthy encouragement cards and drop it in the offering plate to do that. Here's what I wholeheartedly believe. I believe that God brought DeAndre Gibbs and Keyshawn Limbrick here to be with us. God's Spirit changed them, and God's Spirit changed us. So I want to invite Keyshawn and DeAndre up here to join me, please. And as you're coming, each of y'all going to grab one of these chairs over here. I'm going to move this. When I transitioned out of youth ministry in 2016, the people I dreaded telling the most of my plans were King Mbani and Taylor Gibbs, DeAndre Gibbs, and Keyshawn Limbrick. For years, lots of youth would weave in and out of the youth group, and it was these four young people that were easily the most consistent. I spent a great deal of time with them. King we blessed a couple years ago, and I see him every day, so that's a healthy thing for me. And Taylor, we still have one more year of her in high school, so that's a really good thing for me. But I both greatly appreciated or anticipated this day and, as I said before, thoroughly dreaded it, as it's DeAndre and Keyshawn's turn for graduation blessing. I've looked forward to it because I and we have grown to love these two young men. And I've dreaded it because sometimes nostalgia gets the best of me, and these two are growing up way too fast. I didn't know who to start with, and so I'm just going to go alphabetical. DeAndre, we're going to start with you, okay? I'm going to speak about DeAndre. Let me grab my clicker. When the Gibbs family first started coming to church, first Deborah 12 years ago, and then Ashley, and then Gregory, and then right around the same time, Taylor and DeAndre and Reggie. DeAndre was just 8 years old. Can you imagine DeAndre as an 8 year old? I can, because I have a picture of it. There he is in the front. Look at you. This is the very first picture I have in my picture catalog of you. DeAndre, this is a back-to-school blessing, August 24th, 2008. It was around this time that I remember Martha Watson continually inviting Taylor and DeAndre to come to her elementary-age Bible class, and they did. DeAndre ate it up, learning as much as he could and listening to Miss Martha and soaking up all the Bible stories and all the lessons. Then DeAndre would retell all the details to his mom and dad after class, right? He became your teacher. Here's another one. This is from April of 2009. when we had a barbecue across the street. I love this picture because I love each of those children there. I love that picture. This kicked off a long season where DeAndre was not going to miss church for anything in the world. He wasn't going to miss any opportunity to be with this family here. And if he wasn't here, we might as well have canceled church. So we see him at Christmas cantatas and at Easter egg hunts and at pumpkin carvings at my house and kids' prayer luncheons and rice football games and whatever it is, DeAndre, that you were doing here. And here and here. Oh, that's such a great one. In 2011, DeAndre started going to ACU leadership camps with me. This first year, let's just say, being away from home and so far away from home was extremely hard on DeAndre. It was the furthest away he'd ever been from mom and dad, and we all definitely got a little sad, didn't we? But we made it, and he kept coming. Here's the very first one that you did. And here's some more the year after that. The year after that. The year after that. The year after that. Here you are at, this is cross training over in the mountains of New Mexico. This is on DeAndre's birthday, and every morning we circled up to do mountain yoga is what we called it, and then had announcements for the day, and it was DeAndre's birthday, and the kitchen staff made a birthday cake for DeAndre, and so that's what we're doing right there. You remember that one? That was a good day. And here's another one. This is when DeAndre was a group leader with me. He came and volunteered in the junior high camp that I was the leader of. And then our last one right here. This is at cross training again. I love this picture. Throughout the years, we started noticing DeAndre was quite insightful spiritually. He had a certain wisdom about him, and when he spoke, people listened. We heard it in his public prayers from a young age. There he is again. We heard it when he just spoke off the cuff, whatever was on his heart. There he is again. And we heard it when he preached. DeAndre preached two sermons here. One, he and I tag-teamed on Elisha and Elijah, the transition from one to the other. He and I went back and forth in that one. And then he preached David and Goliath all by himself and did a fantastic job with that. There are so many things that I and we are proud of DeAndre for. I think the highest of which is this one right here. This is his baptism with James baptizing him. It's that baptism that defines you, DeAndre. You are God's beloved son, and God is well pleased with you, as are we. For 11 years, we have been a better congregation because of your presence here with us. On a personal note, DeAndre, I want you to know what a complete joy and honor it's been for me to walk alongside you all these years. From an 8-year-old boy to a near 19-year-old man, from one whom I towered over height-wise to one now being towered over by you, I have loved it all. You and I have shared more meals together than just about any other person in my 12 years here. How many gallons of ice cream have we eaten, and how many smoothies? I know for a fact that we've spent more time in van rides together than I have with anybody else, and it was on those rides, and it was some of our best our times away from Houston that we had some of our best conversations about who you are and who you're becoming, about relationships, about what jobs you could see yourself doing someday, about nothing in particular, which were some of my favorite talks. There's a bittersweetness within youth ministry, and if you have worked with youth in a church setting before, even a school setting before, you know what I mean, that you get them as middle schoolers and you teach them and you sit with them, you listen to them, you give them opportunities to learn to love Jesus, you watch them grow up and you send them off, trusting that God's Holy Spirit will take what you've done and magnify the fruit of it all. And that's what I pray for you, DeAndre. This church has poured so much into you. I pray that God increases multiple times over a harvest through you that can only be praiseworthy explained by the goodness of God. And I pray that same goodness of God continues to develop within you a love and trust in Jesus. When times are good and when they are not, and that either way, you'll learn to give thanks in all circumstances. We love you, DeAndre. Is there something you would like to share? Yes, there is.
Okay. Good morning. I don't have much to say except I just want to thank everybody here who's been in my growth over the years. You know, I don't know what type of person I would be if I didn't have this church and everybody in it. Anytime I always felt down or felt like I had nowhere else to go when I was here, I just completely forgot about everything that was going on because I was happy. Even if it was an hour or two, or if I was here helping with an event we had, it was enough just being around. Thank you, Mr. Steve. You've been a big impact on my life since I met you. And sometimes, even when I was like, Mr. Steve, just keep bothering me, texting me, talking to me about stuff. You know, I've never gotten upset because I'm like, I know it's all out of love. And it's you just letting me know that you care about me. And even if I feel like I'm not good enough for myself or anybody else, you always told me that I was that. I was good enough for God, and as long as I trusted in Him, everything would be okay. Thank you.
You too, Mr. James. You've been a big impact on my life too. You started
All right. You started having Bible study with me when I was younger, when I asked you, could you start reading the Bible with me to help me understand it better? And those times were some of the greatest of my life too. I got to know Aiden pretty well just by being at your house. And I also got to know you better than I did. I figured out you could cook and I never thought that you could. And we made a few meals together over there, you know. And it was just fun, you know. You became a person outside of Mr. Steve when he was busy that I knew that I could count on and talk to when I needed to. And then when King came around and we started going over there together, everything just started getting crazy. And when King started driving, everything got crazy. I was like, oh my goodness. But it's been some of the best times, just some of the best times of my life. I was happy when Keyshawn, when you started coming here, you know, you always been kind of a weird person, like, like, you don't talk that much. You always seem upset about something, and then you just snap, and you just like happy. You just like, oh yeah, how you doing, or something like that. But you know, I feel like I've gotten to know you. I've known you since before you started coming here, but I feel like just you starting coming here, I've got to know you pretty well too. And I learned to, you're the type of person that you should not misjudge, because you're very easy to misjudge just by the type of vibe you give off. But I learned that you're a really good person, and you know, people misunderstand you a lot, but if they just take the time to try to get to know you and get under that hard rock wall that you always set up, that y'all can have like some fun times together. I'm happy to see you sitting up here in your cap and gown, man. I've been keeping up with you on Instagram and stuff, and I can't be more happier for you, man. And what I want to say to you is I just want you to continue to be a good big brother to Travion, because even though he can be a little rough sometimes, so like, he gonna need you, and he look up to you more than he would like to say, I'm sure, but you a good dude, Keyshawn, and I just want you to keep being the same. And I love everybody in this church, and I just want to thank y'all once again.
Preachers can preach, can't they? Yeah. All right, Keyshawn, I'm going to follow your grandmother's leads and post all kind of pictures about you too and brag about you as best as I can. Is that okay? Those are my favorite, Deborah. Keep them coming. Those are so good. Keyshawn and his family started coming to the church in 2013. It was actually, as I think DeAndre kind of mentioned, it was a connection between Reggie and Lincoln, right? Did y'all work together? Is that what the connection was? Okay. Worked together for a while, and that family started coming in 13. And Keyshawn jumped right on in and made friends easily, related well to others, invited his own friends. The first picture I have of you, Keyshawn, is this one. Let's see if you can tell me where it's taken and what we are doing.
We got books autographed.
Very good. Yes. Yes.
When I was laying down.
That's right. You were laying down. Yeah. This is an event that Sarah Pybus and Lori Tucker and I, we brought several of the elementary age students to a book reading at Johnson Middle School, now Meyerland Middle School. And Keyshawn went to that. It was his very first event that he went on. We went to a park to have a picnic first before we went to the book reading. And this is the very first picture I have of you hanging out in a tree. A couple of months later, you were literally a last minute addition to our retreat for that year. This is in 13, I believe, 2013. Yes, Caleb was your partner for the weekend. And it was as if you had been a part of this church since birth, the way that you interacted and shared and played. Here's a group picture right here. And from there, you were off and running. You came to the retreat next year, and the year after that, which was my last retreat as a youth minister. You also came to camp with me, and let me tell you, Keyshawn flourished at camp. He did so well, he's jumping in all the way, not holding back. It was a sight to behold, and I believe that camps helped him blossom into the leader that he is today. You went to Impulse with us, but it was at cross training that some of my best memories with you were located. I love this picture. This is one of my favorite that I have taken. Keyshawn was the only one who came to cross training with us that year. This is on campus at Abilene Christian right before we got on the big Greyhound style bus to go to New Mexico. I love that one. And then here we are hiking together, the top. This is close to the peak where we took this picture. Here we are the next year. There's Flat Jesus, made it up to Sipapu. And I'm just going to show this one again for my benefit. Keyshawn, what also impressed me is all the behind-the-scenes work that he did and still does to this day. So no matter what service learning opportunity I was going to lead, you were going to be there. Here you are at the Impact Church. You're helping us serve food. Here you are at BBS, showing off the guns. Here you are. This is, we unloaded a huge moving van full of stuff that was going to go into Braze Interfaith Ministry. Here you are painting faces for a couple hours at a Treats from the Table event. And here you are reading to children. And reading to children. Reading to children. Reading to children. Reading to some more children. And reading to some more children. I think that's it. Let's check. Nope, it's you on a donkey. You did the same. That's great. And joy upon joy, the day of your own baptism, which was this day 6 years ago. Can you believe that? 6 years today. Lincoln, I love this picture up here. I remember it well as we baptized you. This church stood right here at the base of this wall in front of you and witnessed as you died to yourself and were raised again with a spirit that was given to you. This church loves you, Keyshawn, and this church is for you. As am I. You have blessed my life with your presence for a long time now. I am thankful for our conversations, for your written notes of encouragement to me, for you being the official Easter picture taker of the Sargent family, for your servant heart and your kind spirit. I am a better minister because of you. One picture I want to close on, this is the one that I want you to remember most. Do you know where this is?
At the retreat?
Yeah, this is a second retreat site that we did. This was a place out in the country past Rosenberg. Every retreat I ever did, we always had time for solitude and silence, and you pulled that chair out into the field to do so. You also did that multiple times at cross training, sitting next to the stream. You, Keyshawn, have received all sorts of public recognition, and deservedly so, for what you've been able to accomplish these last several years. All your clubs and groups you're a part of, Student Council, Homecoming King, just about sweeping the awards for students at your school, your prolific track achievements, all of it we are immensely proud of you for. It's this picture I want you to remember. You alone and alone with God, away from people, away from noise, writing, praying, dreaming, creating space for God to remind you who you are. This is what I want you to press into, Keyshawn. Sneaking away to be with God and God alone, especially when you are too busy to do so. This is your life. And this will give you life, and I pray that you would return to that chair as often as possible. We love you, Keyshawn. We are proud of you, so thank you. If you have something you would like to share, you can do that. Michael, I'm going to transition to this one anyway. Just give it a shot.
Good morning. I would like to first and foremost say thank you to everyone who just welcomed me and my family with open arms, especially me. Firstly, coming and being so shy and so introverted, I have really sprouted as a person upon coming here and just branching out with you all. As I've endured high school and just endured coming to this church, I have just had my eyes really open to talking to people and not being so reserved. And you guys have just brought me out of my shell as a person and just made me realize that I'm more than just a person that can just sit in the background and just be quiet, but you all have brought me to be a person who can speak his mind more and feel comfortable with who he is as a person as he walks and not just be shy and tiptoe around things. And I just can't fathom from the nights we've shared with dinners and parties and service. As a community, it has been great, and I cannot thank you all enough for the guidance and the love and support you all have given us and given me and my family. It is just an emotional toll on me that I've came this far and that I have been here for this short amount of time, but it feels like forever. And I just cannot fathom the relationships and the friendships and the conversations that I've taken on with many of you as I've been a member of this church. And it has just been a loving and great adventure with you all on my side and pushing me and encouraging me and loving me and just having open arms and open minds as I come to you every Sunday and every Wednesday as I can with my schedule and just making time for church. You all have been just wonderful with your open minds and open hearts, and I just cannot fathom how much I am adoring and loving you all, and I thank you so much.
We have a couple of folks who are going to come pray over each one individually. James is going to pray over DeAndre, and Keyshawn asked Jessica to pray over him, so we're going to do that. Keyshawn, how about you scoot your chair maybe a little bit closer to me? If you are part of the Gibbs family or Keyshawn's family, how about y'all come up here, and y'all can surround them first in about 15 seconds. Anyone else who wants to come up and surround these two individuals and the families can do that. James, we're going to start with you praying, and then you can just pass the microphone over to Jessica. So let's have family first, and then everyone else can come as well.
Holy God, we are honored to come to you and to honor your story in how it is lived out in simple, small, beautiful, and yet grand ways. We acknowledge from the very beginning, DeAndre has been a gift to us. A gift to us and to this church, to many of us individually outside of these walls. And we acknowledge that you were doing something in his life from the very beginning. God, you have created him to be a man of loyalty and faith, a man of genuineness and compassion. You have developed him through church and through family, through school, and you have made his story great. But God, we also, just as much as we come with gratitude, we acknowledge that his future is open to your Spirit leading. We ask you, God, to lead him where he needs to be. Lead him to the people who need to hear from him. Lead him to the people who he needs to hear from. Give him people who say yes and encourage him, and people who say no and hold him back. Give him people who lead him. Give him people who bring his personality to the front. Give him people who bring him calm and peace. And we pray, God, in gratitude for what you will do in DeAndre. A future that is bright and open, a future that is full of your love. Just as you pronounced in Scripture, what can separate us from your love? No height, no depth, no life, no death, no angel or demon, nothing in all creation can separate DeAndre from your love in Jesus. And we ask that you help him to walk every day with that truth, with that feeling, with that reality all around him. May it bring him joy, peace, and life to the fullest. And may he always know the people he can turn to when he doesn't quite feel that life at the fullest, so that we can encourage him on one step at a time. Thank you for DeAndre. Thank you for the family that has surrounded him, family at home and family here. And we thank you for all that has been done and ask you to continue breathing your Spirit into DeAndre. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we come with humble hearts and heads bowed because we are so grateful and so blessed to have two young men in our church who have grown up here, have blessed us with their talents and in showing us just as children who you are as God. And now we have two young men going out into the world, and we'll continue to do that. Both of them have the blessing of childlike hearts, yet they have the maturity to make the right choices and to continue to persevere in this world. And we're going to help them do that. Father, this past year, I personally have been blessed by getting to know Keyshawn more and more through class. And I've come to know the gifts that you've bestowed upon him. The one that comes to me the most is, the two that come to me the most is perseverance and compassion. Father, this young man has so much perseverance and striving to continue for excellence, to make sure that he not is excelling in all of those things that we need him to excel in to be successful in this world. He's a hard worker, but most of all, what I love about him, Lord, is that he has a compassion for people. I was thinking about this upcoming summer, and he seems to just have his head on straight about transitioning into college. He's continuing with classes. He's continuing to volunteer. But what I've realized is that it's because he loves you, Lord, and he's going to continue to use those gifts you've bestowed upon him to continue to shine your light in this world. Father, some of the things that I've been pondering over and want to ask you to continue to bless him in is to have the faith of Abraham, to have the obedience of Noah, to have the discernment of Deborah, to continue to follow you, Lord, as the disciples and apostles. But most of all, God, I want you to endow him with the Holy Spirit to continue to love people just like Jesus Christ loved others. As he starts college in the fall, bring people into his life that are going to sharpen him as iron sharpens iron. I pray that he finds the friends and the people that are going to make his path straight. We know that you can do that, God, but I want him to find people that are going to love him just as he loves himself. Thank you for Keyshawn, God. Thank you for continuing to wrap your arms around him, and thank you for bringing him into our lives. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be
I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord. I see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We see in you the glory.